Good morning. It's great to be with you again. And yeah, thanks. Is this you, Dave? No, another Dave. Okay. Oh, thanks for this lectern. This is great. This is a bit of taste of heaven right here. So. Thank you for this. Last week we looked at that horrible topic of hell, and if you were here, I'm sure you remember that. It was a very hard topic to think about. It was very hard to swallow, but I'm sure that you'll agree with me that it's important to think about, hell. Today we're looking at the complete opposite of hell. We're looking at heaven. And just before we begin, I just want to say just a couple of really quick things. Firstly, I am going to do a very inadequate job of explaining heaven. How on earth can I explain the wonders and glories of heaven? It's a difficult thing to do. I feel like I'm trying to explain to someone what a sunset looks like without ever having looked at one myself. But I have heard about what heaven is like from God's word, and that's what we'll be looking at today. Secondly, I just want to say that there are a lot of things that I'm not going to say. Right? There are heaps of things which I'm not going to say. I hope that doesn't disappoint you. We all have different aspects of heaven that we cling on to and which help us get through this life. And there are many things which I am not going to say. I think it's going to take all eternity to explore the wonders and glories of heaven. And this morning, all I have with you is just a few short moments. So I'm limited, unfortunately, with what I can say. This is a topical sermon, like last week, which means we're not focusing just on one passage, but we're looking at a number of passages. And lastly, I just want to say, in speaking of heaven, I'm talking about that final place where God's people will dwell for all eternity. So let's pray, and we'll get stuck into it. Our Lord God, we thank you so much for this wonderful hope of heaven that you have given us. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together as brothers and sisters and to ponder this marvellous and wonderful place. Lord, we pray that you would give us understanding in your word. Help me to be faithful to your word. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes and open our hearts so that we will know the hope to what you have called us. Lord, please be with us. Please be with me as I speak. Help me to speak clearly and help me not to get in the way of you talking to your people at this wonderful place. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you may have heard the joke about the wealthy man who wanted to take his possessions to heaven. There was a very rich man, and he was near death. And he was very grieved because he had worked so hard for his money, and he wanted to be able to take his possessions with him to heaven. So he began to pray that he might be able to take some of his wealth with him to heaven. An angel hears his plea and appears to him, and the angel says this, I'm sorry, but you can't take your wealth into heaven. That's just not the way it works. But the man implores the angel to speak to God on his behalf, that maybe, you know, God can bend the rules. The man continues to pray that he might be able to take his wealth to heaven. The angel reappears and informs the man that God has decided to allow him to take one suitcase with him. Overjoyed, the man gathers his largest suitcase that he could possibly find, and he fills it with gold bars, big gold bars, and then he places that suitcase beside his bed. Soon afterwards, the man does die, and he shows up at the gates of heaven to meet the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper saw the suitcase and said, hold on, sir, you can't bring that into heaven. The man explains that he has permission, and he asks the gatekeeper to verify it with the Lord. Sure enough, the gatekeeper checks, comes back and says, oh, you're right, you are allowed to carry one bag with you, but I'm supposed to check its contents before letting you through. So the gatekeeper takes the suitcase, opens up the suitcase to inspect the worldly items that the man had brought with him. He looks at the suitcase, looks at the man, looks at the suitcase, and then says to the man, you brought pavement into heaven? The It's a joke. But it illustrates how people significantly underestimate how wonderful heaven is going to be. And this man thought he had to bring his riches into heaven. But sadly, I think as Christians, we often underestimate how wonderful heaven is going to be. I know I do quite often. I forget just how wonderful heaven is going to be. And that's a sad thing. Because God has given us the hope of heaven to help us in this life. The promise of heaven is meant to help us persevere through the trials and tribulations of this life. The promise of heaven is meant to help us not get distracted by the things of this life. The promise of heaven is to help us not get discouraged with all the brokenness of this world and the brokenness in our own self. So today I want us to look at what heaven is going to be like. I want to answer that question, what is heaven and what is it going to be like? And I think it's a very important thing for us to look at today. And I want to look at four things. I want us to consider, first of all, where we will live. Secondly, who we will live with. Thirdly, what we will do. And then to finish, I want us to think about the most wonderful thing of heaven. The most wonderful thing of heaven. So let's begin by considering where we will live. And the answer to that question is quite simple. In heaven, we will live in a new creation. Now, when you type the word heaven into Google Images, you can imagine what comes up. I did it last night, and there's just clouds everywhere, you know, pictures of clouds. And this is a very common understanding of what heaven is like. You know, heaven is a white place. It's a place of clouds with people wearing white robes. They've got kind of golden hair. They've got wings. And they kind of frolic, you know, from cloud to cloud. Now, if that doesn't excite you, that's okay. Because that's not what the Bible's picture of heaven is. The Bible's picture of heaven is a new creation. In heaven, we're going to live on a new earth with new bodies. Look with me at Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. When Jesus returns, we are told that God will create a new heaven and a new earth. Now, heaven is where God lives, right? Heaven is God's home. Earth is where we live. Earth is our home. And the Bible says that God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. God's going to create a new dwelling place for him. And God is going to create a new dwelling place for us. And the really cool thing is that they're going to be one and the same place. And we'll see that a little bit later. But in short, we will live in heaven on a new earth. And what's more, it is going to be this earth that we will live on, but completely renewed. This earth that we are living on right now is the earth which we will be living on forever and ever. But there will be a difference, and that is that it will be completely renewed. You may have heard about the Sunday school teacher who was teaching her class about heaven. She got a trestle, a big canvas, drew a big earth on it, and explained that that was the earth that we live on. You know, that it's broken, it's fallen, it's full of pain. And then to illustrate what God is going to do, what she thought God was going to do, she took the canvas, she tore it up, chucked it out, got a brand new canvas, and drew a new earth on it. But that's not what God is going to do, is it? That's not our God. Our God does not ditch his creation. Our God is not the wrecker, he's the redeemer. He is the restorer. And we're told that he is going to take this earth, this good but broken earth, and he will restore it so that it would be new again. It's important to know that when the Bible uses the word new, it almost always means renewed, such as the new covenant is a renewed covenant. And that is exactly what God is going to do to this earth. He is going to take this earth and renew it. He's not like us with our, you know, IKEA furniture. Gets a bit scratched and a bit broken, we chuck it out and we start again. God is more like the furniture restorer who takes that old piece of good furniture and restores it so that it is new again. Now that's something to look forward to, isn't it? Because there are many things that we love about this earth. The food and the drink that's here, you know, the sweetness of honey, the sourness of berries, the juiciness of mangoes, the aroma of coffee or tea, if you like tea, you know, they will all be there in heaven. We love the sounds of this world, the sounds of singing birds and the lapping of water on beaches. They will all be there in heaven. We love the places of this earth, the lush forests, the tropical beaches, the rugged wilderness, the snow-peaked mountains, the green valleys and the velvet paddocks. They will all be there in the new creation. Even the exact same places that are here. Mount Wellington, the Don Trocaster Channel, the West Coast, the Grand Canyon, the Victoria Falls. All these places will be there in the new heaven. Except they will be completely renewed. Free from all of the brokenness and the fallenness. There will be no more devastating floods. There will be no more wildfires, no more earthquakes or volcanoes or tornadoes, tsunamis, heat waves and so on. There will be no more insects that sting us and poisons that harm us. There will be no more decay or frustration or disharmony in the world. I love it the way Isaiah pictures it. Isaiah says, the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. The young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nets. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? This world is an amazing place. And the good news is that we'll get to enjoy the delights of this world for all eternity without the brokenness of this world. I reckon the difference between living on this earth and the renewed earth will be like going from 2D black and white to 3D in colour. It's going to completely amaze us and blow our mind. And what's more, the Bible says that we'll enjoy this new earth with new bodies. Just as the earth will be renewed, so will our bodies be renewed. For Christians who die now, their bodies remain on their earth and their souls go to be with Jesus. But when Jesus returns and when he creates the new earth, we're told that our bodies will be raised again and that we will live on the new earth with our new bodies. In fact, they will not only be new bodies, but they will be the same bodies that we have here, completely renewed. Look at Romans 6, verse 5 with me. Paul says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." Now, what was Jesus' resurrection like? Well, on the third day after being crucified and buried, Jesus rose with a body, a real human physical body. You could touch him, you could feel his skin. And with that body, he walked and he drank. And he ate. He wasn't a ghost. He had a real body. And it was the same body, wasn't it? His disciples recognized Jesus. They knew who Jesus was. His body was different. It was renewed. It was glorious. It was amazing. But it was the same body, wasn't it, that was renewed. And we're told in Romans 6 that we will be united with him in a resurrection like his. The bodies which we will live with in heaven will be like his resurrected bodies. The same body, completely renewed. Our bodies will be free from sicknesses, from fatigue. There will be no more diseases or viruses or fevers, organ failures or pains. In heaven, our bodies will work perfectly. We will be perfectly healthy. We'll be in the prime of our life forever and ever. There'll be no more hospitals. There'll be no more doctors. There'll be no more dentists. There'll be no more medicine. And of course, there will be no more funerals. There'll be no more death because there will be no more sin. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thought, isn't it? Heaven's going to be an amazing place. The second thing I want us to look at today is who we will live with. We've looked at where we will live. Now I want to look at who we will live with. And I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit from here on in. Who we will live with is a pretty important question, isn't it? Because we all know that we could have a wonderful new earth with wonderful new bodies, but, you know, if we're living with bad company, then everything could be ruined. But thankfully, that won't be the case. We're told in the book of Revelation that heaven will be full of people, too many to count. But they will be perfected people. Heaven will be full of people, yes, but they will be people who are like Jesus. We will live with people who are like Jesus. Look at 1 John chapter 3 with me. John says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Christians can be wonderful people to live with. The church today can be a place of great happiness and really deep fellowship. But you don't have to be a part of the church to realise that it's also full of brokenness and sin and pain. Because although we're forgiven, we are still sinful. There are times where we are proud and selfish and jealous. We don't put each other's interests above our own. Which makes living with Christians sometimes very great, moments of great happiness, but also moments of great pain and great hurt. But all this will change in heaven. In John 3 it says that when Jesus appears that we shall be like him. We shall be perfect. We shall be sinless. We shall be holy. We will have not only new bodies, but new hearts. And heaven will be a place full of people like this. A place full of people like Jesus. Now, I'll tell you what, that's a place that I want to be. A place where people love each other deeply. A place where people love each other genuinely. A place where people put each other's interests above their own and serve each other with love and gratefulness. There'll be no misunderstandings. There'll be no conflicts in heaven. To some extent, today we're all wearing masks. You know, we hide our true self because we know just how ugly our own hearts are. There's thoughts, there's motives that we never want other people to know of. And we kind of walk around with masks on. But not then in heaven. There'll be nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be embarrassed. We will be perfect and we will enjoy open and wonderful relationships and fellowship with each other. And that, I tell you, is something really to look forward to in heaven. We've looked at where we're going to live, who we're going to live with, and now I want us to consider what we will do in heaven. What do you think you will do in heaven? Do you think you'll do nothing? Do you think you'll have to work really hard? Do you think you'll spend eternity singing harmonies and just bowing down to God? You know, when I was a kid, that was definitely my view. You know, I thought that heaven, we do in heaven, we just sing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we just bow down to God. And it didn't really excite me. You know, I certainly didn't want to go to hell, but heaven, didn't really want to go to heaven either. What do you think you will do in heaven? Well, the Bible tells us a few things. Firstly, we will rest. Heaven will be a place of rest. Every hour, every day, for all eternity. And Hebrews chapter 4 says this very clearly, doesn't it? In speaking of heaven, it says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience." Heaven is clearly described as a place of rest. And that is good news, because we all need rest, don't we? I think every one of us needs rest, and that's what we long for. This life is full of toil, it's full of painful work and sometimes very frustrating work. Sometimes it feels like you work and work and you don't really achieve anything. This life is full of different stresses and different pressures and different burdens that weigh us down and wear us out. We long for holidays, but when we get them, they're never really as long as we'd like, and they never really give us that rest that we really desire and need. But heaven will be a place of rest, true, everlasting rest. Not just from painful work and frustrating work, but also from all trials and tribulations and persecutions that we might face in this life. That doesn't mean we won't do anything, though. We're not going to be sleeping and kind of dozing forever in heaven. God has designed us to be productive as humans. That's how we're designed. And we love to be productive. To be productive and to be creative can bring enormous satisfaction. And I believe we will spend much of our time on the new earth being productive. I don't know exactly what we'll be doing. But at the very least, we'll be caring for this world and reigning over it with Christ. There will be some form of work, a productive, a creative kind of work, but at the same time, there will also be rest. It will be a wonderful work, free from frustration and pain. Heaven also will be a place of worship, though, won't it? And you just have to open the book of Revelation and read it to figure that one out. Look at Revelation 7 with me. In verse 9, John said, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Now, as I said before, this picture of heaven turned me off as a boy. You know, I was never a part of a choir and never really wanted to be part of a choir. And I couldn't stand the thought of continually singing before God day and night. But heaven is not primarily about singing, is it? It's about worship. To worship something is to find your enjoyment and your delight and your satisfaction in something. For example, if I was to find my deepest enjoyment and delight and satisfaction in my wife, I would be worshipping her. And as humans, we're all natural worshippers, aren't we? We long to delight and enjoy in something. We long for things or people to give us satisfaction. In heaven, we're told that we'll be worshipping God. In other words, we'll be finding our enjoyments and our delights and our satisfaction in God. And I tell you what, that is going to be exhilarating, because God is all satisfying. God can give us more joy and delight than anything else in this world. And singing will just be an overflow of that, won't it? It won't be forced singing. Nobody will tell us to sing. We will just sing. We often sing what we worship about, don't we? It just kind of just pours out of us. And I believe we'll find so much enjoyment and delight in God that our hearts will just overflow with praise and thanksgiving. And this brings us to our last point today, and that is the most wonderful thing about heaven. I'm sure you agree that what I've said so far is awesome, that we will live on a new earth with new bodies, we will live with people who are like Jesus in perfect relationships. Heaven will be a place of rest and good work and worship. But none of these come close to what I'm about to tell you. You see, there is something much greater about heaven than all of this put together. In fact, without this, you wouldn't have any of the rest. You see, the most wonderful thing about heaven, more than anything else, is that God is there. Let's finish where we began in Revelation 21. After John talks about seeing the new heaven and the new earth, he says this in verse 3. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. What makes heaven heaven is not those blue aqua beaches, the white sands, or the lush forests or the green paddocks. What makes heaven heaven is that God will be there. After all, it is he who is going to create the new heaven and earth. It is he who is going to transform us to be like Jesus. And it is he who is going to give us rest and fill our hearts with joy and wonder. You take away God and you don't have heaven. William Barclay, a well-known preacher and author, once said, we do not need to speculate on what heaven is going to be like. It is enough to know that we will be forever with him. And that is certainly true. The Bible tells us that God will dwell with us. The Father will set his throne up on earth. Jesus will live with us. He will walk with us and eat with us and talk with us. And the Holy Spirit will forever flood our hearts with the love of God. And we will enjoy intimate and deep fellowship with Jesus forever. You know, I love my wife. She gives me a lot of happiness and joy. I love my children. They've made me laugh almost every day for the past 4 or so years. But I can honestly say that nothing has given me more happiness and more joy than fellowship with Jesus. There is nothing greater than knowing God, loving Christ, and knowing his love for you. And I'm sure many of you have experienced that, what it is like to experience God's presence and to know that intimate fellowship with Jesus, to know that he is with you always, even to the very end of the age. It's a joy with peace and rest and happiness all kind of mixed in together. And the Bible tells us that we will experience that and much more every hour for all eternity. We will be with Jesus forever. And surely that is the most wonderful thing, the most wonderful thing about heaven. I don't think I've done a very good job. I'm sure in heaven we'll look back at this time and this talk and laugh at how inadequate it was, you know, to describe just how wonderful and glorious heaven will be. But I hope it has given you some taste, even if it's a small taste, of what heaven is going to be like. If you're a believer in Christ, all of this plus more awaits you. And because it does, please don't be discouraged when you feel overcome with the brokenness and the fallenness of this world. It can be very hard at times to cope with all of that. This world can be a very hard place to live. But you have an amazing inheritance awaiting for you, which will far surpass whatever trials you have on this earth. I love it the way the Apostle Paul puts it. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Continue to persevere and to hold on to Jesus. Don't be discouraged and don't be distracted. We are pilgrims and we are passing through. Our hope is in heaven and not on earth. So don't be distracted with this world and all that it has to offer, as if you need to be like that rich man at the beginning who stored up for himself all of his treasures. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. So here we have it. Two places, hell and heaven. And all of us will spend our eternity in one of those places. We will either spend a million millenniums in hell, or we will spend forever and ever in this glorious place called heaven. I want to finish by asking you a very simple question, but it's a very important question, and that is this. Where are you going? Please don't think about your friends. Don't think about your family. Don't think about those who are sitting around you. But where are you going? Do you know where you are going? That is such an important question. In the book of James it says, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You know those cold, Tassie mornings like we had this morning? You go outside and you breathe and the vapour forms. What happens to that vapour? Within a split second, it disappears. And the Bible says that's what our life is like. Our life is just a vapour. It's just a mist. We are here one day and gone the next. We are like the flowers of the field that look, you go out and they look so beautiful. You come back the next day and they've all been blown away. Our life here is short. Our eternity is so long. Where are you going? Do you know? If you are going to heaven, and you're sure of that because you are confident of what Jesus has done for you on the cross, that he has forgiven you of all of your sin and given you the hope of eternal life, if you know you're going to heaven, then rejoice in that and hold that in front of you as your hope to help you through this life. If you know you're going to hell, are you aware that Jesus died for you? God does not want you to go to hell. He doesn't want you to go to hell at all. That's why he sent his son Jesus to come into this world and to take on your hell for you, so that you wouldn't have to go there. And because of what Jesus did, there is a wonderful promise in John 3. And this is the promise that God makes to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and this is the promise, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What a wonderful promise that is. Let me finish with a really quick story. It's a fictional story, and it's of Satan and his three advisors. One day, Satan called a meeting with his three advisors. Satan was disturbed because too many people were turning to Christ and getting saved. So Satan asked his advisors what he should do in order to attract more souls. After thinking for a while, the first advisor spoke up and said, "I know, let's tell them there's no God." Satan shook his head and said, "That's pathetic. We could never pull off a lie that big. Every human is born with a basic understanding of the truth that God exists. He set up creation to testify it." The advisor fell silent and said nothing. There was more thinking, and the second advisor stood up and said, "I've got it. Let's tell them there's no hell." Satan sighed in disgust. "Of course there's a hell. A basic knowledge of right and wrong and punishment is built into every human being. They all know, at least at a basic level, that there are consequences for wrongdoing." Silent thinking resumed. At last, the third advisor stood up and said, "I've got it. Let's tell them there's no hurry." "Brilliant," Satan exclaimed. "We'll catch souls by the thousands." Friends, I want to leave you today with the sense that there is a real urgency. There is an urgency to turn to Christ and believe. Please do not leave this morning without getting right with God, because your eternity is at stake. Where you will spend the rest of your life is in the balance. If you would like to know more about Jesus and how you can be saved, please do come and speak to me afterwards. I'd love to speak to you. Or speak to one of the elders or anybody else that you trust here in this church. We would love for you to have the hope that we have of eternal life with Jesus forever. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we thank you for this wonderful hope of heaven that you have given us. Lord, not only have you saved us from hell, from eternal punishment, Lord, but you have given us an indescribable gift of heaven, where we will live with you forever and ever. Lord, we long for that place. Lord, because this world is so hard, this world is full of all kinds of trials and tribulations. Father, we pray that you would send your Son Jesus back soon to fix what is broken in this world, to renew it, so that we can enjoy this place with you. But Lord, at the same time, we do not want to see any of the ones that we love end up in hell. And so we pray, Lord, that you would save a multitude of people from hell and bring them into your glorious kingdom. We pray that even today, Lord, that you would add to your number. We pray this for your glory and for our joy. In Jesus' name, amen.